chapter number 11. John's Gospel, chapter number 11. It's good to see some families here at Liberty for the first time. Hope you feel welcome in our church family. John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm going to start reading. I want to get to chapter 12, but I want to lay just a little bit of background to where the message is going today. And I'd ask you to pray for Brother Mike as he's preaching for Brother Jody this morning. And certainly miss him. But in John's Gospel, chapter number 11, the Bible said in verse 32, Mary had a big question. Something had happened in their family. Has anything ever happened in your family that you questioned to God about? The Bible said then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, I want to say something right here. It may be the reason God's allowed situations to come in your life is for one reason, that you may fall at His feet. She fell at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Then we go on into John's Gospel. We find it in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I'm glad that He felt compassion about people. And then said the Jews, Oh, behold how He loved Him. So we find now in verse 38, Jesus again groaning in Himself coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take you away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. She said to Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. They took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Then you know the passage. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, and believed on Him. Now look, verse 53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put Him to death. Then we find in chapter 12, Jesus has just done a great work in a family's life. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we find them, according to another parallel gospel, in Simon's house. They're gathered. And here's my thought this morning. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, because He was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of My burying hast she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but Me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together in your house with your people. Lord, you've been so good to us. And in this time of year, as we celebrate this week of Thanksgiving, God, may we realize where our blessing comes from. Lord, if there's ever been a time in my life when I need you, it's now. God, I need you in my home. I need you in my life. God, this is your ministry that you've placed me in, but I stand this morning more as a needy preacher. The older I get in the things of God, how I see I need you. Help us now in the preaching to be a blessing today. If it be one here lost, I pray, oh God, that you draw them by your mercy and grace and save them by your love and mercy today. Help us as we gather out back to realize how good you've been to us now. Meet with us. Touch these families that need a touch today. And we'll be grateful to you. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I won't preach long this morning, but I'm interested in a text verse where the Bible said in verse 2 of John 12, there they made him a supper, Martha served, but Lazarus was the one of them that sat at the table with him. And I won't preach on this simple subject today on the Thanksgiving table. The Thanksgiving table. Now, there are four things about this table that I want to point out in this message today. And first of all, I want you to notice there's the welcome of the table. The Bible said in verse 1 that Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, and the parallel gospel says it was Simon's house. I'm glad Jesus will still come and make house calls, aren't you? Aren't you glad that we've got a God that come up into where me and you live? And I'm glad our God's not dead this morning, but I sure am glad that He is welcome around the table. Is God welcome around your table? And so we see here His arrival. Jesus came. I want to remind you today that we're not saved according to what we've done, but according to what He's done. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. Jesus came and died for sinners. And I sure am glad that He came to us. Well, so we see His arrival. He came to the house. Now here at the welcome at this table, there was arrival, but secondly, there was acceptance. I wonder, is God wanting to get around your dinner table? I wonder, would you let Him in around your meal this week? And so here's this table is furnished. The Lord comes and we see there's a welcome at the table. I want to tell you, if there's anybody that ought to be welcome at our house around the table, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, His arrival and His acceptance, but then His acquaintance. I sure am glad that those in the family of God can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Brother Mark is talking this morning, and many times God proves Himself to be real. How many times in your life has God just come upon you as you were all alone or in a situation, and God proved Himself to you? I sure am glad that not only is there an arrival and acceptance, but there is an acquaintance. Jesus sit at the table with this family. I want to tell you today, y'all always make room for Jesus around your table. I've noticed this, if Jesus is set around your table, you might can sit with others that you generally don't sit with. Some of y'all get that Thursday about 3 o'clock. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus is sitting around the table, there will be a welcome at the table. Number two, not only the welcome at this Thanksgiving table, but there's a wonder at this Thanksgiving table. You see, what is the wonder? And the Bible says in verse number two, there they made him a supper. Martha's servant Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, I tell you, a wonder at the table this morning is the folks at the table. I'm glad we have a table set here today, and we can come and honor Him, and we can worship Him in spirit and truth. But one of the biggest things in my life is a wonder of the folks that God saves and puts around His table. Here's Mary, an outcast, and nobody wanted. Here's a lady called Martha that is her sister that we don't hear much about. But we know a lot about Lazarus. Matter of fact, his life done got to stinking before the Lord called him out of the grave. And can I tell you this morning, it don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, there's a God of heaven that can still save you in this day and in this hour. I'm glad that God came to get into a bad situation. There's wonder at the table. And I want to say something. If that's not a wonder, if that's not big in your heart, I'd wonder, did I really know Him as my Lord and my Savior? I'm amazed that God saved. There's a man told me one day, I sat under him a little while as a preacher. He said, "You listen to me, Ken. The older you get in the Lord, you're going to lose that shout. You're going to lose them tears." I want to say, by the good grace of God, I've never lost the wonder at the table of where God has saved me and found me and been good to me. And I say, hallelujah to the King of glory this morning. I'm glad God has a wonder at the table. There's a wonder at the table. The wonder at the folks at the table. Look around here this morning, and maybe you may be surprised at who God would have around His table. I guarantee you it's not because the Pharisees and Sadducees picked them out. Because Christ was interested in this family. And Christ is interested in you today. There's folks at the table. Number two, there's food at the table. It may do you good Thursday before you rush right into things, that you push your chair back and say, "We're going to give God thanks for the food on our table." God has been good to us. One of the biggest wonders at that table this week, I want to say, is of how God has blessed us and been so good to us. Matter of fact, we need Him to send us rain. Before I left town the other week to go to Tennessee, I heard our governor of Georgia say this, said, "We've become in a drought, and it is an act of Mother Nature." I want to say, honey, it's not about Mother Nature. It's the God of heaven that is in charge of this outfit. And we need God to roll back the heavens and pour us out a rain upon this country in this day and this hour. Oh, there's a wonder at the folks at the table. There's wonder at the food on the table. You say, "Well, preacher, I haven't got a lot on my table." Well, just thank Him for what you do got. The devil will never show you what you got, just what you don't got. And as you look around that table, not only the folks at the table and the food at the table, but the fascination at the table. I look around this morning, I bring it in this church environment, I'm fascinated at the people that God has sent to the table. Oh, the fellowship of the table. Isn't it a blessing when the Lord's sitting there? You know, I got saved as a young man. I can tell you right now, my two children was raised in an environment where they were taught to bow their head and pray and give God thanks at the table. And brother, they don't know a lot about not having God around the table. But I want to say today in your family, you say, preacher, God's never been the center attraction around our table. I don't know of a better day to get started than to give Him head in your household and put Him head of your table and honor Him and glorify Him and thank Him every chance that you get. Because there's fascination around His table. I will say this, there's favor at God's table. You know, when you sit around a table where God's at, you'll always have something. You know, He fed 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. God can do big things for us, and there's nothing like God favoring people around. Could you imagine there is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Simon, no doubt, was someplace. It was his house. Maybe he had gone out to do something else. But there was 3 people that was special to God in that fellowship and in His heart and of His household. Look how favored they were to have Christ at their table. Look how favored you are to have Christ at your table. There are many families in Bowden, Georgia, we'll have dinner with Him Thursday without Him. How sad. How pitiful that people never get together around the table with Jesus. And you know, our little grandchildren, they all pray different. But they pray. And the little children we got in our church, if there's ever been a day and an hour with that, we ought to be teaching them to thank God and realize that He's around our table. It is this morning. Oh, there is a wonder at the table. Thirdly, I want to say this, and I want to say a statement. I want you to get it. There's working around the table. Martha served. There's a man called me last night. Matter of fact, it's Brother Josh Adams. Brother Josh called me about 9:15. He said, Brother Ken, he said, there's a lot of people out back here working. He said, you know, I appreciate that, and you don't see that every place. I want to say something. In order for you to be blessed around your table, there are people that have made it happen. And I know it's by God's grace, and every good gift is from above, and I realize that, but you've got to put forth an effort, and I appreciate the folks in this ministry that put forth an effort. She waited on the table. You know, I'm reminded of this, and I want you to notice this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. I walked out back this morning early before church service. I seen people out there cutting, preparing, doing things. Been a lot of decorating going on, a lot of things that where we can have a nice place to go to church and enjoy the goodness of God. I want you folks that labor to always remember this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. You folks that are in ministry, you folks that are raising your children, I want you to remember this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You ladies and men that have been so busy serving, God's writing everything down. Did you know that there's a man that comes here just Saturday evening out of his time, picks up trash on this whole facility, blows leaves off of the parking lot. Nobody's out there waving at him and cheerleading him on. But I want to say, folks like that, it's what God means in this verse. When you are doing it for the Lord, I've noticed this, and I want to say this as your preacher this morning. I'm about done preaching. But when you're working for the Lord, it's a whole lot easier. When you love somebody, it's easy to do something for them. And I want to say I appreciate folks that work around the table. It may do some you old husbands today to sort of encourage your wife and your mother and grandmother and say, you've worked hard this week and I appreciate what you've done for us. Instead of go setting a deer stand blow in and say, is that all we got? We ought to be thankful to people that help us be a blessing to us. You know, there's a lot of things we take for granted. I think every babysitter in the country is underpaid. There's working at the table. The last thing I want to say this morning at this Thanksgiving table, there's a welcome at the table. Is Christ welcome at your table? There's wonder at the table. Has it ever dawned on you how blessed you are to be able to sit where Christ sat around your table? Renee, where would our family have been if God hadn't have saved me? Oh, there's no doubt now you'd have took our kids to church and tried to raise them right. But I just want to say, what a wonder it is that God intervened in my life. And say, have you lost the wonder of what Christ has done for you in an old-fashioned altar? Don't lose the wonder at the table. You know, every time Brother David, Brother Tim leads us in a song, you know what? We ought to think about the words of that song and we ought to say thank you. You know, in our liberal day, in our land of political correctness, they don't want a preacher to say anything about people dying and going to hell, but you're going to die and go to hell without Christ. There's no in-between. You don't live good and see if you can make it. You'll die and go to hell in your goodness. Jesus died for our sins that we could be saved, have faith toward Calvary's cross, and be gloriously born again by the grace of God. This morning, the Thanksgiving table, there's the welcome at the table, the wonder at the table, the working at the table, but lastly, there's worship at the table. Verse number 3, Mary did something that other folks didn't like. She took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Parallel Gospels tell us how costly this was. It was a year's wage. She brought it to Christ. Some of you won't even give Him a tenth of what you make every week. She gave Him a whole year's worth. Lord, here it is. I know Dad'd get flat, but it's okay. You see, there's worship at the table. I want to say this in verse number 3. Her worship was offered. She brought it with her. Her worship was open. She didn't hide it. You know, sometimes you got to forget about who's sitting over there by you and get focused on who He is and how good He's been to you and raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I'm in an old-timey church and people still stand up and brag on the Lord. I know it scares some folk, but don't scare me. And I'm glad it's in order at Liberty Baptist Church. If we ever forget the wonder of it all, honey, we might as well stay at home because God deserves all of our honor and all of our praise. When we get too highfalutin to worship God, honey, we done forgot about where our bread's buttered at. Her worship was offered. Her worship was open. Her worship was outrageous. Her worship was obvious. The Bible said it filled the house, not the room. I love it when worship breaks up and it fills the whole house. Oh, I appreciate being around folks that worship. And you know what? Folks in leadership, what we better not forget, leadership is to lead, and that's another area we need to be leading in, is in worship. Sometimes it does you good to humiliate your flesh. You better quit thinking so positive of yourself. Maybe you're listening to too many Joel Osteen sermons. But you better realize, honey, that the Holy Ghost lets the air out of flesh and it exalts His Son. We're not to glorify ourselves or be prideful in what we do, but we ought to thank God for what He's done. Oh my, today, Miss Sheriff, you'd come, just play something for me this morning. Watch this, her worship was offensive. Some folks didn't like it. There's old Judas Iscariot. He is a thief. He acted like he cared for somebody. But when she decided to bring the best that they had and present it to Christ, he got upset. That reminds me of folks that fuss and fight over money. They might ought to see who it's all about. There's been more churches tore up over money. Crazy stuff. Well, aren't you glad God deserves our best? Somebody walked in the other day and they had an attitude because of our facility. I can sniff out bad attitudes real quick. Said, "Ooh, well, y'all something, ain't you?" I started saying, "Hey, bud, won't you go get back in your car? We don't need your attitude here." And let me tell y'all folks something. If God's house ain't the prettiest place in town, then shame on us. God deserves our best. There's been times I've trusted Him when I didn't really have it to give, but I trusted Him. And He's proved Himself. Best worship around that table. I wonder if there's anything you want to thank Him for this morning. Miss Sherry.